Hey y'all, I'm Sammy, your host of the You Were Made for More podcast. John 10:10 is a promise that Jesus came down to earth so that we would have life and have it abundantly. My prayer is that this podcast and all of the content that we put out would remind every student that they were made for more, simply because of who they were created to be. My own walk with the Lord and my relationships with the teenagers that I disciple have shown me that once we understand whose we are, the game changes. Or in other words, transformation happens. Our identity changes everything. We recognize that it takes investment and partnership between the church and parents to raise teens who know and believe who they are in Jesus. And we're here to help. So buckle up as we take this journey and take a look at what God has to say about friendships, relationships, sexuality, dating, and all the things in between. Hey guys, and welcome to the You Were Made for More podcast. This month on the podcast, we are featuring my friend Travis Deans. Travis has been an integral part in the Western PA youth ministry scene for many, many years, which is how I originally connected with him. But this month, we're going to feature youth ministry in general. And I want to talk about something that is really important as parents and youth leaders as we minister and disciple teens. And this topic is regarding questions. It's regarding, how do we respond when students ask questions we give them? What kind of responses do we elicit from honest, vulnerable questions that they are desperately searching for answers to? We have to be prepared to give theologically deep answers. And I know that Travis is going to be the best person to cover this topic with me because of his heart for youth ministry, his heart for students, but also his heart for youth pastors and youth leaders, and to see them thrive in the work that they do. Travis currently serves as the Northeast Regional Coordinator with the National Network of Youth Ministries. He is a graduate of Moody Bible Institute in Chicago, and he has been actively working in youth ministry for 28 years. Travis and his wife Judy and their four kids currently reside in Uniontown, Pennsylvania, but his work spans all over our region. I am excited for you guys to hear this conversation with him and ready to dive in. Travis, welcome to the You Were Made for More podcast. If you would do our listeners a favor and just tell us a little bit about who you are, what you're passionate about, what God has called you to, and where God has called you. Just kind of, I like to call it like a Spark Notes version of who you are, to give us a good understanding of where you're coming from and who we're listening to before we dive into this conversation.
Thank you so much for the opportunity to join you today. Yeah, so my name is Travis Deans, and I'm with the National Network of Youth Ministries. I was a youth pastor for 10 years in a Christian Missionary Alliance church, and also worked with a parachurch ministry called Teens for Christ, and we helped students to start Bible clubs in their high schools and to share the gospel with their friends, just to think of school in a new way, you know, to think of school as an opportunity to serve Christ and to make a difference in people's lives. We created this idea. We probably stole it from somebody, but we share with students this idea that, you know, school is not just a place where you have to be, but it's a place where God has sent you, where God has put you, And, you know, when a new school year comes around, we'd like to encourage students to call it a 9-month mission trip. So that's a little bit about me. I right now with National Network, I help connect youth pastors in youth ministry networks. You know, it's you last longer in ministry and can be more effective in ministry the more connected you are, especially on the local level. You know, if you have a group of fellow youth workers, youth leaders, you know, colleagues in ministry that you can connect with, man, it just makes a difference. It makes a difference in your ability to keep going and to overcome challenges and to work through struggles and to celebrate victories. So, anyway, love what I do, and it's an honor to do it. So, thank you, Sammy, for the opportunity to be with you today.
Okay. Second question for you, Travis, and this is going to be like probably a long-winded answer for you because it's a very general question, but I think it's important as we dive into the meat of this conversation about students and how to have conversations with them that are honest and raw and vulnerable and still focus on the gospel. What does it mean to be theologically deep?
So that's a great question. I would say that theologically deep, I mean, there's a lot of different directions you could go with this question. One of the things that I find helpful and that I really like to do is to help students understand the big picture of Scripture. In other words, you know, you turn to any random part of the Bible and you read it. If you don't have some concept of where that part fits into the grand scheme of things, it's really hard to understand, you know, what in the world am I reading? Why is it saying this? You know, you open the book of Leviticus. If you don't know where that fits into God's big plan, then it's just hard to understand what it is that you're reading. It's hard to go deep without a framework, without this overarching narrative that Scripture has, but a lot of kids are not familiar with. And so I really like to try to help kids grasp the big picture. And then here's where the parts and the pieces fit. You know, here's where the history books of the Old Testament fit. Here's where the prophetic books fit. Here's where the Gospels fit. You know, all of that, you know, it makes more sense if you can connect it to something larger. I love how the, you know, Coalition for Christian Outreach, you know, they do this thing, their Jubilee retreat for college students where they talk about creation, the fall, redemption, and restoration. And that's a great example of helping people understand the grand narrative of Scripture. I love that. I love to help students understand that. A lot of times when I do retreats, I'll do it like this. I'll talk about, you know, that Scripture is this epic story, and the epic story has a great hero, which is, you know, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. There's an ultimate villain in you know, Lucifer, Satan, and his fallen angels. And then I like to talk about the, you know, the struggle of, you know, the spiritual battle that human beings came into right from the beginning, right from creation. We entered into this spiritual war. But then you know, I love to talk about the rescue. You know, every great story has this moment where someone is rescued from something. And of course, Christ is our rescue. He's the great rescuer. And then I love to talk about the end of the story. You know, every great story has or should have a good ending. And our story, the story that we find ourselves living in, has an incredible ending. You know, you read the end of the book of Revelation, you know, chapters 19 through 22, and it's just got this incredible ending to the story. And so if students can understand that framework, you know, however you word or describe it, I believe that then they're able to go theologically deeper than they could before. I mean, you know, you could take any particular topic, you know, Christology or soteriology, right? All those ologies. You could take any one of those theological topics and go deep right off the bat, but You know, if you do that without that framework, then you don't know how these things all connect to each other. You don't understand the relationship of you know, God the Son with God the Father, with the church, with the end time. You know, I mean, it's all, you know, until you know the big picture, I just, you know, if for me, it's hard to see how does that all fit together. So anyway, that's what I like to do to help kids begin to go deep, is to help them see the big picture.
Yes, I love how you hit on that idea of the big picture, that we have to be focusing on that big picture, because it leads into my next question for you. How, as parents and youth leaders, how can we be practically leading kids to Jesus through grace, but also be guiding them towards repentance in these conversations? Because I think that's part of being theologically deep, right? It's allowing them to understand the transforming work and grace that Jesus provides, but also pushing them towards more, which looks like repentance and accepting the forgiveness that Jesus offers them. How do we do that practically in our relationships?
Oh, that's another great question. That's really good. So a couple of things. First of all, I think that, you know, as parents, as youth leaders, we cannot assume that kids understand theological truths. I mean, for the most part, I think we need to start at the beginning with everybody in our culture today. You know, we tend to assume people know this or that, and then we get upset or frustrated when they don't understand, and that's, you know, we need to show grace in walking people through the basics. So for example, you know, just the whole idea of sin, a lot of us, we don't grasp that. We know there's things wrong with the world. We know there's bad people out there. We know that there's a lot of bad things that go on. We might even be angry at some of the bad things that go on, but very often we don't see the wrong and bad things inside of ourselves. And so we can't take it for granted that people understand that sin is a thing. And so we need to start with some very basic things. You know, I like to tell students, I like to walk them through the Ten Commandments, you know. Sure, you may have never killed anybody or robbed a bank, but, you know, have you ever lied? Have you ever hated someone? Have you ever said bad things about someone? Have you ever wanted something that someone else has? You know, just walking through the Ten Commandments, and that's what the Ten Commandments do. They show us where we fall short of God's glory, right? Like Romans 3:23 says. And so we need to be patient. We need to allow them to ask simple basic questions, and we need to help them understand the simple basic concepts. You know, I also like to explain, you know, why did Jesus have to die? You know, I think a lot of people today, you know, because we're not really aware of sin in ourselves, we don't understand why did Jesus have to die? What was that all about? What's the big deal? Why did anybody have to die? And so walking through that, you know, that, you know, because God is perfect, God couldn't let sin go. If God let sin go, then God would be sinful, and so he had to do something, and he sent Jesus to die in our place. So, I mean, just patiently, you know, kindly explaining the basics, you know, talking to someone as if they've never heard the gospel, because although we live in a country with churches on every corner, I would say the vast majority of people have never really heard a plain and clear explanation of the gospel. So being patient with people, you know, not assuming that they know things that we have known for years, or, you know, but walking people through to the basics, slowly and one step at a time. That, I think that's one of the most important things we need to do, is to, you know, just to walk through those things with people, and just allow them the space to ask questions, to understand. They say that it takes the average. I've heard this a couple different places in a couple different ways. You know, the average person needs to hear the gospel message, you know, 5, 6, 7 times before they really understand it. And of course, the other thing is that there's a supernatural element that we need to be praying that the Holy Spirit will open eyes and allow them to see with the eyes of their heart the truth of the gospel. It doesn't come natural to us to understand the gospel. There needs to be a supernatural work in our hearts. So a loving, compassionate, prayerful, patient approach to students is really important in guiding them to Christ and to repentance and to giving their lives to Him. And just understanding that, hey, you know, there's a God, and God gets to be God. We don't get to tell God who God is. God, because God is God, God gets to tell us who He is and how things are and what and what reality is. And so, I mean, even that is that's a big deal. You know, I don't know how often you hear, I don't think God would do this. I don't think God would say that. I don't think God would. Well, if there is a God, and if God is God, then we don't get to tell God who God is. God has to tell us who He is. And so, even those simple things, it's really important to patiently, carefully, lovingly, compassionately walk through those truths until a person comes to the place where the Holy Spirit convicts them of their sin and they want to repent and give their lives to Christ. So that's hard. That's hard for some of us who have been believers for a while, because we just expect people should get it. But if they haven't been taught, if they haven't heard, how can they believe if they haven't heard, right? So we need to have patience with people.
Yes, I love that answer. I think it's so important to do both of those things. We can't offer repentance without talking about grace, and we can't talk about grace while leaving repentance out of the picture, because that's not a full picture of the gospel. Now, I want to really hit on an important question that has come up in a lot of my conversations with youth leaders. What does it look like to invite students to ask tough questions without judgment? How can we make them feel welcome in our ministries and in our homes if that's where we're doing ministry out of? Again, I hesitate to use the word safe space because I think that can be kind of like a loaded phrase. But that's really what it is for them. How do we create a space for them to ponder and reflect things that the Bible discusses and may have strong opinions about, or we have strong opinions based on our understanding of the Bible, that maybe they're disagreeing with? How do we create a space for them to do that, keeping in mind what we discussed about grace and repentance already? Because I think you're so right. I love that you hit on the fact that we don't get to tell God who He is. That isn't part of being human. And I think that so many times, you're right, I've heard that phrase, I don't think that God would say this, or I think that God meant this. We have to pray for the Holy Spirit to reveal to us what the Bible says, even if it's contradictory to what we want God to be saying or God to be doing. How do we help students grapple with that?
So this is one of the most important things that, you know, that parents, youth leaders, that, you know, churches, that we can do, is to invite people to ask questions and to answer questions with compassion, with patience. You know, as mentioned before, you know, we can't assume that people know certain things. In fact, what we ought to assume is that they probably don't know or probably don't understand. And so inviting them to ask questions is a great thing. You know, Jesus was not afraid of that. Jesus was the master question asker, right? He was the, he not only welcomed questions, but he also asked questions frequently. And so Jesus was not afraid of conversation, and he was not afraid of discussing something. And, you know, you look at Jesus's interactions with people like the woman at the well, or Nicodemus, or, you know, others. Jesus asked questions. He allowed them to ask questions. And, you know, sometimes Jesus was amazed that people who should have known things didn't. But Jesus was so patient, so good, so kind with people as they ask questions. And we need to be like that too. In fact, anytime someone asks a question, just the fact that they want to know something about God, about Christ, about faith, that should cause us to rejoice that they're even asking, because so many people don't want to know, don't care to ask. So I'd much rather have someone asking questions than not asking questions. Now, you know, someone may ask a question and it, you know, it might stump you. You might not know the answer, and you might, you know, that's kind of our fear, isn't it? That someone will ask a question and we won't know how to answer that question. And students are smart. I mean, they ask good questions, and they're growing up in a culture that is so different for many of us who are believers. And so, yeah, they're going to have tough questions. But here's the thing. If our faith is true, we do not have to be afraid of difficult questions. We do not have to be afraid of that there's not going to be an answer. You know, because if God is God, then He's provided the answers. He's provided the truths. He's provided the knowledge that we need. He's revealed Himself, and so I think it's number one. It's okay to we should encourage questions. Number two, it's okay if we don't know the answer to one. And if someone asks something, the third thing is just to say, I don't know how to answer that right now, but let me get back to you. Let me dig into that. And I think that's actually very, I think being honest about not knowing all the answers is a better approach than coming off as though we do know all the answers. If we come across the students as, we know it all. That's kind of off-putting, right? That's, you know, none of us like somebody who's a know-it-all. Even in spiritual things, we shouldn't come off as, hey, I've got all the answers. We should always come with a humility, like, you know, hey, I was asking that same question too, or I've wondered about that same thing, or I've struggled with that same question that you're asking, and here's the answer that I arrived at, or here's what the Word of God says that's helped me to understand that question. And so, you know, a humility in how we answer questions, I think, is so important for students, you know, whether it's your kids or students in a youth group, or, you know, in Sunday school, or wherever you encounter them. Don't come off as we have all the answers, but we should be confident. We should be confident that I believe that God has given us revelation of who He is and what life is about. And so there should be a joyful confidence, but yet a humble and authentic, you know, approach to it. You know, hey, I've struggled with that same question, or I've known people who have struggled with that same question. You are not alone in struggling with that question that you have. You know, just assuring people that we don't want to treat people badly in those conversations. It's great. You know, if they want to have a conversation, if they want to ask questions, that is good. Let's celebrate that. Let's be excited about that. Let's be glad that they want to talk about these things. And let's invite the questions. They may or may not be asking, but let's invite. What questions do you have? What struggles do you have with this truth or that truth, or, you know, about life or God? Let's invite the questions, because as we invite the questions, you know, it gives opportunity for the conversation, and it gives opportunity to share God's truth. And so, So often I think we're just afraid of questions. We're afraid of exploring things, and we don't have to be. We don't have to be afraid. God's truth is true in spite of questions, and God's truth is true. It might be a zigzag line to get there, but we'll still get there if we're praying, if we're relying on the Holy Spirit, if we're trusting in God's word to do its work. And so not only should we welcome the questions, we should ask for them. We should invite those questions, because those questions create opportunities to share God's word. And I think a lot of times, people, not only students, but just people in general, don't feel safe asking questions because they feel like we're gonna, judge them or treat them badly, put them down, right? Because of they're asking a question, and that should never be the case. We should be known as people who treat others with humility and patience and kindness, because kindness, as we talked about earlier, the God's kindness, Romans 2:4 says that God's kindness is what leads people to repentance. And so we ought to be expressing that kindness as we talk about these things. So, but I sure appreciate the opportunity to come on today and to chat with you about youth ministry. I love, one of the greatest joys of my life is to see students curious about God and learning about God, wanting to learn. And when you see the light bulb come on, when you see in their eyes, something made sense, something, they got it, there's nothing better than that. And so, just appreciate the opportunity to chat about all this.
Yes, Travis, thank you so much. I just want to leave our parents and youth leaders with the encouragement that you shared. Anytime we have students asking questions about who God is and what he says and what he believes to be best for them, it should cause us to rejoice. Even if there is a struggle in understanding, even if there are disagreements in what is being said or what we believe, we should be rejoicing that people are asking questions about God and praying for that person who's asking questions. That is such a great encouragement as we go into the field of youth work and connect with students on a daily basis. So thank you, Travis. Youth leaders, parents, students, we love you guys, and we will see you on next month's episode.